Welcome back to Coach's Corner. I'm Rohan Amin, here with Sammy Glassman. And today we are chatting with boys baseball coach Jared Halford. Thank you so much for joining us today, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
To start off, tell us a little bit about your background in baseball and then maybe what you love most about baseball.
Oh, my goodness. I love talking about myself. I'm from the Valley. I played for Tom Usborne, went to Chatsworth High School, went to Fresno State, had a less than amazing baseball career on the field. I would say I learned life through baseball, which kind of ends the journey about talking about myself and also starts the why I love it so much, because it really does offer an opportunity for kids to grow, to mature, to figure out who they are, what they're capable of, and I would just say test many things safely that life is going to offer them in the future.
So, Coach, let's just jump into this roster. So just looking up and down, it's a little bit smaller of a senior class, I feel like, than usual. So how have all those guys kind of stepped up into a leadership?
I think the smallest senior class maybe we've had since I've been here in my entire tenure. You know, every year is different. Smaller obviously means more personal. The kids, I think, are much closer. You know, having it be so tight and narrow, and that's kind of what our program is anyways. You know, we're not 100 athletes deep. We're really never more than 50. We're stressed for three teams, which is also great because the kids get a ton of reps from all levels. But I don't think it's – we don't look at it as we need to change things or the dynamic of the program is going to change because we have a larger class than another. You're not a leader just because you're a senior, right? We all can carry the torch, and I think that's the way we go about it, which makes the roster sizes in each individual class pretty much irrelevant. We're all a part of the team, and everyone's got a job and a role.
And then kind of on the flip side – with the freshmen, we have Ira Rootman, Drew Rico starting. They've kind of taken off this year. They've been awesome, I would say. What have they brought to this team just in the short time that they've been up on varsity?
Well, production. You know, we're in the point of the season now where you know, we need to execute. This is about the team and winning. Not that it doesn't carry certain levels and things as well, but this is about putting runs on the board and putting our best foot forward every day. Ira got an opportunity. We've got some amazing athletes in the outfield. We're really deep there right now. It isn't that anyone else wasn't having success, but it was we're going to move some things around and see who's performing at that moment on any given day. And Ira got his name called and has done a wonderful job, made a big play game one at Crespi. I think that was probably the highlight of his defense so far. And I think he's managed to have a base hit in every game he's played since he started. That first game at Jay Sarah, we just kind of threw him in the fire against the Lions. Yeah, man, he's performed ever since. Drew came in. Again, very deep in the catching spot, which is not common for us in our program, also being short in number. But Mikey Gonzalez and Nate Blum and Massimo and Aftergood and the list goes down. You know, everyone was competing for these innings now. You know, I think Drew kind of edged everybody out a little bit and has performed so far. We're really proud of him as well. Yeah, he's having a heck of a freshman campaign so far.
Coach, you talked about production. You know, what do you guys do in practice, like any specific drills or anything, to help your players produce and put them in the best position?
Oh man, we do a lot. I don't know if any one thing could be declared. This is what we do to prepare them specifically. I think we try to be as dynamic as we can be. The game can throw, you know, a ton of different literal and figurative curveballs at you, and we really try to just make sure that we're as well-rounded as possible, that we can call upon some previous experiences and say, hey, we've done this at practice, successful or not. It's not completely foreign to you, and we should have a chance to you know, call upon those past experiences and go execute.
And do you have a, you know, particular favorite drill, you'd say?
I like to hit. So a favorite drill. You know what? I think my favorite drill is when we all get on the field together. We call it the gauntlet, which incorporates pretty much everything from the dirt in, which would be bunt defense and base running and first and third and rundowns and picks. We kind of clump that together and call that our gauntlet. It's high energy. Everyone's talking. You know, I think that's probably my favorite time of practice is when we can try to simulate as much pressure and energy and excitement as we can. I think that's my favorite. Yeah.
And then onto a game day routine. What does that kind of look like? And what do you put on the players like during the school day? Like, what do they kind of have to? Well, keep in the back of their mind.
Yeah, showing up on time, showing up on time is pretty important. You know, I think they have their routine that I try to not bleed into as much as far as what they do at school. Obviously, we'd like them to be prepared academically so they can execute, the most important side of their life, which is their academics, and that it doesn't interfere with each other. Having a good meal, not stressing yourself physically. It's probably not a day to grab a basketball around lunchtime and shoot some hoops. Preparation starts, I think, before the series, goes on Saturday or Monday, depending on where we've seen some video and hopefully we've got some visual things that we can reflect on, throughout the day to prepare. Game day prep is pretty much the same. Getting to the field is a little difficult. We're stressed in time, but that stays pretty consistent. You know, with their warm-ups, whether it's their swing or throw and how we take pregame, I think we've been able to keep that pretty consistent.
That's great. You know, you talked about preparation. What emphasis do you guys put on, nutrition, hydration, stretching outside of practice that can help your players, perform at the highest level?
Well, we have a wonderful staff of professionals that we get to call upon, whether it's our training room, our strength and conditioning, which kind of double as the nutrition as well, the psychological component that the school has recently implemented as well, access for the kids. I don't think we're putting our hand too much in that personally. We're obviously making sure that they understand it's important and we echo the sentiment. We're not necessarily executing that ourselves, but the constant conversation of, trying to get an adequate amount of sleep, making sure you're putting what you need to put in your body to perform, it's definitely in conversation, I'd say, pretty frequently.
I saw clips preseason of the yoga. I know we asked about it a little bit during the Mission League media day. Is that still going on during the season? and if not, like, did the players like it? Is that something that they enjoyed?
I think they loved it. Yeah, I think Cindy, who is their yoga instructor, who I don't know if she's full-time on campus or not. If she's not, she should be. She's amazing. The guys loved her. Her rapport and the way that she handles, I think, the different programs is also, I mean, that's got to be tough to go from baseball players to soccer team to football and anyone else that's trying to execute some yoga to benefit them physically. The baseball team can't be easy. I know that. So they loved her. It was wonderful. I don't think we have ever continued into the spring. Once the spring rolls around, we're a little more individualized in our preparation. We're not all just throwing on Saturdays anymore. We're throwing, on three different days of the week when it comes to the arms. The catcher's legs are probably a little more beat up than they are. You know, everyone gets a little bit more of an individualized program, makes something like, team yoga a little bit more difficult. I hope that if they saw benefits, that they're trying to do some of those things on their own or seeking it out. But the yoga is let's put your body in the best spot we can for the season. And then, like what a season is, let's hold on. Let's try to maintain what we can and stay healthy.
Switching gears here a little bit, you guys came into the season obviously with high expectations, you know, nationally ranked. How have you guys done so far this season? Talk about maybe the other loss in the season, and how you guys have, you know, built from that loss.
Yeah. You know, preseason rankings are fun. They are, and they can be used for motivation on either side. Either, you know, you're at the top and let's stay there, or we're not at the top and let's get there. I think it's really nothing more than that when it comes to, you know, the actual what's going on in the program. It's also not something you want to drown yourself in, is where you're at ranking-wise. You know, the season should be an outlook, a constant growth mindset. You're trying to get better the entire way through, and you want to peak at the end when it matters the most. Certainly, the gauntlet of the Mission League can be difficult, and you also need to be ready to perform pretty early. So tricky to continue to develop, but then execute at the highest level you can. You know, I would say, honestly, the last baseball game we just played felt like we really came into our own. I know one individual would disagree. He wasn't particularly thrilled with his personal performance, and we have all the confidence and faith in the world in this young man, who I'm sure will be and did just fine. But really, as a team, you know, there's things that we talk about a team has to go through. You've got to lose. You need to know what that feels like for a number of reasons, even if it's just to darken your heart a little bit that you don't enjoy. And you've got to be able to come back. Those are the big two. There's a couple others that I think are important, but in terms of successfulness of a team, you got to be able to come back late in a baseball game. We give up the lead early against Crespi. We mount a comeback, we're feeling good, and then, oh man, you know, that fourth inning, I believe, third or fourth inning, where we give up four runs and we've kicked the ball around, and, you know, 5-2, we're not talking about a one-run deficit. We've got, you know, this monster on the mound in the opposition and Diego Velasquez, and we know what's coming after him, and another big arm and Tyler Walton. You know, against a formidable opponent who, you know, they've also tasted victory winning D2 last year. So for us to mount a three-run comeback with six outs left, you know, that for me was a really defining moment, only in, hey, well, this is what we're capable of emotionally. You know, can you come back from every game? Obviously not. That's not how this works. But, you know, we now have that in our bag of, you know, we know we can do this, and this is what Harvard Westlake baseball looks like. So I think, how's the season going? Reflecting on a loss, I think right now, you know, we're not at full strength. We're getting healthy. We've got a couple guys that are out of the lineup. The names that have been called to step up and perform have done exceptionally well. You know, and like I said, mounting that comeback was a wonderful chip on our shoulders, what we can do.
So during that answer, you brought up who I'm assuming is Duncan Marston. he, coming into this season, he commits to Wake Forest. There's a lot of, I would assume, pressure on his shoulders to live up to the expectations that have been set for him in kind of his first full year as a high school athlete. There's been a lot of scouts at the games. There's been a lot of attention. And so how would you say, from your perspective, he's been dealing with that?
Yeah. He really is. He is an amazing young man and human being. And to lose essentially 3 years of your four and to come out with these expectations, and he's unbelievable, is what he is. He is. I can't imagine what he's gone through emotionally. I wouldn't wish it on any other human being. I would just say that, you know, we're given tests and challenges, call it divine or not. And this young man had one of the most difficult tests I think I've ever seen, and he's already proven that he was worthy of this test that he's been given. Regardless of the outcome here, I'm so enamored and just in love with what this kid is. Yeah, he's got one of the most tenacious and relentless attitudes and hearts I've ever seen. And whatever Duncan Marston becomes, you know, he's going to be able to handle it in his life, which is, you know, like I started with, it's the best gift that baseball can give you is what you can do as a human being. So, yeah.
So one guy comes up from injury after 3 years. One guy, Tommy Bridges, goes down with an injury after being a three-year starter on varsity. He set the single-season ERA school record last year. What's that been like? Because that's a really devastating loss for this pitching staff.
It is. It is. And like I said, Harvard-Westlake baseball, it means something. It's a living thing. And I think the ability of this program and these guys to mourn for 5 seconds for their brother that went down and also move on and know that we still have a job to do. And whether we need to do it in the name of Tommy Bridges or we need to stay ready, because when his return does happen, we're going to give him, you know, that platform to be himself again. I think that's probably what's most magical and honorable about who and what we are. It was terrible. It's a terrible loss for a number of reasons, but he's still there emotionally and with us in the dugout. He's still one of the pinnacles and the leaders of this program as he's been in the last 4 years. And, you know, we're going to be there in the end so we can give him the ball one more time.
You know, we talked about, you know, the high expectations that you guys have this year. What are the goals that you have for the team, you know, going into the second half of the season?
Yeah. I mean, literal goals to win. That's, yeah. We're here to win. There's a scoreboard on. It counts. It matters. It matters to all of us. It matters to anyone that has anything to do current, past, future of Harvard-Westlake baseball. And to do it with, you know, the highest honor that we can. So we're here to win. It's win time. We're in the second half of this thing. You know, we'd like to do it healthy and in obviously the most sportsmanship way that we possibly can. But what my expectations are is that we keep winning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've been winning a lot, I would say. And you're on the verge of sweeping Crespi. You have Chaminade next week and then off to the NHSI, which you haven't been invited to in a couple of years. What's that trip going to be like, and are the guys excited for it?
Yeah. We have Villa Park and Olu before we go to NHSI, so we're not overlooking either one of those opponents. You know, we have some kids that have never experienced it. The kids that have, and I would say just the program itself, maybe the state of baseball in Southern California, we love to leave Southern California and share, you know, our culture with everyone, whether it's the actual game itself and the inside components of it, or just who we are and what we're about and the relentless nature of, you know, you're going to have to keep us down for 21 outs because if you don't, we're going to get you. I think that's what we're most excited about. We love playing teams out of the area. We see all these guys, you know, starting in the early fall and winter because we're able to with our weather and our schedule. So getting an opportunity to play some teams from Florida and North Carolina, I mean, that's really exciting. Yeah, I think we love that. There's also the element of travel, which can really help bond kids, which is that third component of being a team. You know, it's the most relative experience for college that they're going to have in high school as well, is jumping on a plane with your team and taking care of one another and maybe not having comfort and food that you're used to and still finding a way to go get this done. I think it's all in all, it's the best experience that you can provide and have as a baseball team and for a high school program.
You know, lastly, you talked about the identity you guys have in showcasing that identity to other, you know, states across the nation. What would you say your identity as a Harvard-Westlake, you know, program is about?
Being relentless, you know, just that this is who we are and this is what we do. I think if you asked any one of our kids without knowing them, you know, who are you? One of the quickest responses would be, in definition, I'm a baseball player. I don't know if they'd say I'm a Harvard Westlake baseball player. They probably wouldn't, but they'd tell you that they're a baseball player, and that means something. That needs to mean something, and it's pretty cool. So, yeah, man, we can endure. We can deal with some struggles and adversity. We can be accountable. We're tough emotionally and physically, and we can be counted on. We can be counted on.
All right, Coach, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Coach's Corner. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and giving us some insight. For HW Media, my name's Sammy Glassman with Rohan Amin. See you next time.